Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking Majestic Buckhead, where it is cool, a little on the warm side, but for July. We love it, and the Peachtree Road Race will run right in front of me on the 4th, and I will get to see 115,000 of my favorite people. That will be fun. All right. I want to start talking today. There's a lot going on in the world today. Last week and the week before, we talked a little bit about the lavish expenditure of the Obamas having essentially a $100 million vacation, which is more than any other leader has ever had for any nation ever. It's the most expensive vacation for somebody in power in the history of the world, and then even go back to the Caesars. All right. I'm rethinking that a little bit, and my thought is now that that may have been a very good expenditure of funds. Let me tell you why. They're in Africa. They went to Ireland first, and you know, they talk about Barack Obama's Irish roots, which really, as one of the members of the Irish Parliament said, are tenuous at best. And he said that they shouldn't have Catholic schools, evoking the ire of the bishops in Ireland, which is a Catholic country. Then he goes to Senegal and is in Senegal at the time that the Supreme Court hands down the case that, you know, says that gay marriage in the states that already have it is the law of the land. So, of course, this is, you know, this is a big gay celebration. And he uses this to go on, have a speech to kind of instruct the people of Senegal about the virtues of perversion. And the president of Senegal turns around and rebukes him. In Senegal, they execute homosexuals. Now, that's not something that we would ever do in the United States of America, of course, nor should we. But when the President of the United States is in a country that probably only 3 out of 100 people could locate on a map immediately, we've got troubles. We've got troubles that a president should be above that. He should know enough to not, he's there on a goodwill tour. Well, that doesn't promote goodwill. But the worst part of it is this. The stature of the United States is so diminished on the African continent that it's okay for somebody to rebuke the President of the United States. Could you imagine some rinky-dink little country rebuking Ronald Reagan or George Bush? or even Bill Clinton for that matter, or Eisenhower, or FDR. No. But Barack Obama, in his arrogance and in his mistaken belief that he can do whatever the hell he wants and it's okay, and people will just kowtow to it because the media in America does and the sycophantic left undulates at his feet, or at least most of them. Now, those are two things, but those aren't the two biggest. The third is what's happening in Egypt. We have a full-blown, massive uprising. CNN reported that were 33 million people in the street. Now, that was Sunday night, which would be Monday morning here. So this is, you know, this major uprising has just happened. I mean, right, 33 million people? Do you have any idea how many that is? That's the whole West Coast, California, Oregon, and Washington. It's the whole Northeast. You take the whole Northeast, New Jersey, New York, and New England. And they're all in the streets of one city, essentially. Cairo's that big. Cairo's one of the biggest cities in the world. And what are they protesting? The Muslim Brotherhood and the administration of Mohammed Morsi. And what is the problem? They don't want the repressiveness of the Muslim Brotherhood. Egypt has been at peace. Now, I'm going to give this to Jimmy Carter. In the late 70s, I mean, he failed miserably with Iran, but he did a good job developing a peace accord between Egypt and Israel. And that lasted all the way to Barack Obama. Now, the value of that was that the whole southern border for Israel is protected. And the other part of it is for the Egyptians, they were just able, the Egyptians were just able to live a normal life, and they like it. And so here they come in with all of this, you know, put the babes in burkas bull, and the Egyptians don't go for it. They don't want to be repressed. They don't want to have all of this, all of this hardline militant radical Islamization that Obama was all for. Oh yes, this Arab Spring is just wonderful. We'll have this, you know, great democracy. Well, it's nothing but a mess when you have 33 million people, 33 million out. That's half the population of the country. I believe that Egypt is somewhere between 65 and 80 million people, which is the biggest, you know, one of the biggest countries. Next, I think Turkey might be almost as big and Iran almost as big, but it's a huge nation, and it's all an upheaval. And what did Obama do? In the last 3-4 months, he sent them tanks and fighters and $1.3 billion. And for that, yesterday, a Catholic priest was beheaded
because he was trying to protect a nun, beheaded. This is a mess, and this Barack Obama has insinuated himself in there, thinking that because of his little, all of his pro-Muslim stuff, that he's doing good and he's not. So it's backfiring while he's on the continent. Now he's in South Africa making a mess there. What do you think about this, Richard?
Well, I'd like to know, what do you think that he's actually done good?
Well, he's undermined the security of Israel. He has backed, here's the worst part. Let's just really get to the bottom line. In North Africa, Saharan Africa, the Russians are the major power, and we have declined since Barack Hussein Obama. In South Sub-Saharan Africa, the major power is China, all at our expense. We are declining. And while we're over here saying, isn't it wonderful that gays can get married and that they, you know, and we're putting the imprimatur of, you know, anal intercourse is just wonderful, you know, and nothing wrong with it whatsoever, while we are losing our position as the world leader. What kind of wanton hubris and foolishness is this? But that's what we got.
Well, so you're saying
is that too much like it is today?
he's actually good at degrading us to a lower power in the world. He's good at that.
Well, the whole Middle East is about to explode. Obama, fool that he is, put a red line for Assad in Syria and said, if you use chemical weapons on your people, we're going to intervene. Well, Assad used chemical weapons, and we haven't intervened. Now, frankly, I don't want to intervene. But if you're the leader of the West, which the president of the United States is, you have to do what you say you're going to do. Now, people get upset about, you know, the people from the left do not like George Bush. I can understand not liking George Bush. He had some stuff that, on the borders, he was terrible, and he got us into two wars that we have a hard time to get out of, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But he was not respected as a world leader, but he was feared. If people were not willing to cross the United States of America during his administration, because they knew that there was pain involved in it. What is involved with Barack Obama? Bluster. Phineas T. Bluster from the Howdy Doody show.
Whoa. Came from the past.
And there's nothing there. He's an empty suit. Putin knows it. Putin is using his ineptness, Obama's ineptness and weakness, to further the influence of Russia in that area of the world. Now, that is not in our best interest. Now, we aren't going to go to war with Russia. You know, those days are past. Nor is it going to be 1955 again, or 62 with the Cuban Missile Crisis. We're not going to get to that stage with them at this point with this. But we are losing our position as being the world leader that we have been since World War II, and it's because we have an absolute fool in the White House who knows nothing about international politics. And, of course, this is this. What was the thing that did it. It was the Benghazi attack and then the subsequent cover-up. And I want to tell you something. When Obama, 2 weeks after, 2 full weeks, went in front of the United Nations, in front of all of these nations of the world, and said it was because of that video clip, which he knew was a lie and was proven to be a lie, all of these nations said, this guy doesn't, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. You don't get up and tell a bald-faced lie to the entire world at a forum like a major address at the United Nations, which it was, particularly because he addressed the thing with Benghazi, and it was such a hot story right before the election. And he gets out there and lies with a straight face, and they believe him until all of a sudden it demonstrated in spades that he's lying. So what do? They say he is not a person to be taken seriously. Now, there is no such thing as a vacuum of power. It's there, and we either have it or someone else does. And we're losing it because we have someone who does not know what they're doing. Now, I want to bring up something else here. Have you heard of Michael Hastings?
No.
Have you read anything about it? Or, I mean, you know that he was a journalist for the Rolling Stone, and he, in 2010, did that article on the general that was in charge of Iraq or Afghanistan, one of the two. I don't really remember which.
This was the Marine general that was one of Obama's boys?
No, this was not one of McQuirkin or McQuilkin. He was not one of Obama's boys. That was the thing, is that he was just, he was going to do what he wanted to do and would not just kowtow. Now, Obama liked him, wanted him to be in charge, and the guy was just very good. But he wasn't somebody that was going to just do stupid things, you know, based on the whim of Barack Obama. So it ended up that, you know, Hastings did a story on him, and he was called home by Obama and resigned, and then subsequently retired. So that was that kind of made this young man, at the time, I guess he was just 30, and he was quite a sensation as a reporter for the Rolling Stone, and, you know, interestingly, and BuzzFeed, the website. Now, he had something to do with the NSA, and he also had some other things that were going on, but towards about 2 days before he died, or maybe it was even the day that he died, he sent an email with some people and said, you know, listen, this is the biggest story I've ever done, and I've got a break in that, you know, but I think that the FBI is tailing me, and I need to go off the grid and, you know, just kind of back off. Well, 4:30 the following morning, he was going 105 miles an hour in a Mercedes, and hit a tree, and the car exploded, and the explosion was so severe that it knocked the engine out of the car, and he was burned beyond recognition. and the FBI took his fingerprints, said that there was enough there, even though he was charred, and said that it would definitely was him. Well, I don't like conspiracies. I think most of them are just kind of lame. But this kind, these kinds of things are just happening too often. Have you ever heard of hitting a tree and an engine being thrown from the car? Ever? Plus, if he was going 105 miles an hour and hit the tree and the engine was thrown out, wouldn't it go forward? It went to the right. I think he was onto something, and that he was getting too close, and that he was murdered. Now, do I know
this? Was there any
can I prove
mark
it? No.
Another tree?
Huh?
Did they ever try and stop? Is there skid marks? You know, I mean, like he was breaking?
No. I mean, he hit the tree, evidently, they said, at 105 miles an hour, and it was a palm tree, and it wasn't even a thick palm tree, and it hardly, it did knock the palm tree over.
And this was a Mercedes doing 105 miles an hour.
Yeah. And Mercedes said that the car wouldn't do that.
Right.
And
yet, exactly.
And also, why was the FBI doing the fingerprint? FBI doesn't, I mean, a road.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have an accident, you get killed. The local authorities, the LAPD.
Or well, maybe they did it because they were following him. They were right there with
him.
Well,
and there was also just happened to be a random photographer that was shooting footage to see and saw what this guy was doing at 4:45 in the morning for that. I mean, the whole thing is just too much. We
kind of being God-like, you mean?
You know, that's exactly what I'm thinking. It's just like this. It's beyond. Now, let's just say this. I haven't had anything to drink in 19-plus years. How long has it been for you?
For me?
Yeah.
1984, what's that, 29 years.
That's almost 29 years. Okay, for a couple Irish guys, that's pretty good. So,
And I think what I drank is finally out of my system.
We're not that important, I don't think. But if anything happens to us, you can just count on the fact that it doesn't have anything to do with, well, they just decided to tie one on and hit a tree in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
This is just, there are things that are happening that are beyond normal.
Now, they never found anything that had anything to do with what his big story was going to be?
No.
It isn't like a book where he, emailed a tape to a friend or something to that effect. Nothing, huh? Just died with him.
Where his notes are or what he was doing, we don't know. Now, his wife doesn't believe any of it, and she's a reporter, and she's kind of about to get to the bottom of it, and I just started following her on Twitter. This is wrong. There's so much that's wrong. Now, the good news is this. When you look at the polls for the popularity of the president, it has taken a substantial decline.
I think they call it a nosedive.
Well, it isn't a nosedive. Because his approval is still average 45, but his disapproval is 49.
So it overall, it's minus 3.5, but he's down by 3 in the Gallup poll, 5 in Rasmussen, 8 in Fox, 7 in Reuters, 6 in The Economist, and 9 in CNN. Now, there are a couple, the Pew has him up by 6, but that's about it. All the rest of him have him down. And people are beginning to see slowly, but this is the way it happens. Now, he hasn't been in office for half a year on his second term. There are other things that are happening. The case about him using a fraudulent driver's
social security
number is finally something that came, and the government, finally didn't even make an answer to one of the pleadings in the case, which is kind of tantamount to saying that it's guilty. What will happen from that, I don't know. I just don't know. But I do know this. The pressure on Obama is increasing. He was in hopes, I know he was in hopes, of going over there to Africa and being just applauded and isn't this wonderful. And he's had anything but that. And now the reporters, the American reporters, are asking him much harder questions than they have in the past. And at a news conference with the South African president, Obama finally, told some of the reporters, says, you got to be a little bit nicer here, which isn't something that really is his call to do, but he did. And, there's a lot of repression in South Africa, but there's also a great deal of unrest among South Africans having Obama there. They don't like him. They think that he is, that he's pro-Israel. It's so funny because the Muslim Brotherhood is anti-Israel, and yet in South Africa they see Obama as pro-Israel, which he certainly is not. I don't think they've got it right. Kind of a mess. And we're seeing that more in flux than I think that we've ever seen before. Tough stuff. And yet, what are we doing? We're just pushing forward with the truth and trying to get to the truth. But once that happens, it may not be good for your health. This is some serious stuff. If I were a liberal during the Bush time and didn't like him, I could see, saying he was a buffoon, but I don't think that people had anything to worry about their personal safety. I can't honestly say that I believe that that's true about the president of the United States right now, and I think it's very sad. Very sad for our nation. It's not what we want, not what we need. At any rate, these are some hard, hard times. One thing I want to say positive, although the Bruins lost the Stanley Cup, the Chicago Blackhawks, by putting in that full-page ad, saluting the people of Boston, I think was one of the classiest things that I've seen in a long time. And as a New England sports fan, need some good news. Anyway, I'm going to say good night and say thank you, my brother, and we'll talk to you later. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.